Thank you, everyone, for joining today. It's a blessing to be in church again on another Sunday. I think Jody is doing a very nice job with those songs. When you listen to those songs, try and listen to the lyrics a bit. The lyrics can actually be quite deep. The lyrics can actually mean more than even just the general feeling of the song. You know, the song she was singing today was saying, "Lord, I want to come closer to you. I want to spend more time in your presence." And, you know, we pray every week about the presence of God, and it emphasizes the importance of having the presence of God in your life when you're making decisions, when you're just going through your daily life. It's very important to walk with the presence of God. So really take the time and listen to some of those songs. Listen to the lyrics. The lyrics are the main thing. The lyrics are the important thing. Amen. So let's just bow our head and close our eyes. Let's pray very quickly. Father, I thank you for this time in your presence. Lord, I thank you for another Sunday. I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to gather and to meet and to share your word. Lord, I pray that you'll continue to be with us, that you'll continue to guide us, you'll continue to protect us week after week. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you've kept us through this year, kept us through this time. I thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the life in each and every one of our lives. And I thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the life of First Love Church Delaware. Lord, I pray that as we continue to grow, God, that your hand will be with us, that you'll continue to guide us, you'll continue to protect us, you'll continue to direct our footsteps, Lord. We are thankful to you for what you are doing. Lord, I pray and I ask, God, that as we are coming and as I'm sharing today, God, speak through me. Let the message come through me from you, God. I pray, Lord, that today that somebody's hearts will be touched. I pray, Lord, that you'll soften our hearts, that you'll help us, oh God, as we are learning about your word, as we are moving through the Bible, God, help us, oh God, open our eyes, give us revelation, give us understanding, help us to have a deeper level of wisdom in your word. I thank you, Lord, for what you are, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 So happy to see everyone. I pray that everyone is continuing to do well in this season. You know, this time of year is actually when I enjoy it. When the year is ending, you're really able to sometimes sit back and look at what God has done for you throughout the year. And particularly with this year, I think each and every one of us has things that we can be thankful for, very obvious things that we can be thankful for. So, you know, as the year is ending and as the holidays are coming, try and think about God and try and think about what he's done for you. Try and think about the good things the Lord has done for you. The Bible says that I will remember the mighty acts of God. So I think, you know, as God has kept you through this season of life, through a pandemic, many of us have never lived through something like this before. You know, try and remember that. Try and think about it when you are praying. Thank him for keeping you. Many, many, many people have lost their lives, but we have been kept. God has a plan for you if he's kept you. Amen. So last week, we began a series on what does it mean to be forgetful and the unrighteousness of people who forget. We talked a little bit about the defining the word unrighteous. We learned a little bit about what the definition of the word unrighteous means. I think, you know, this is a common Christian word that we hear all the time. It's said very frequently, but many people probably don't know the definition. So we actually learned that to define the word unrighteous, it means not conformed in heart and life to the divine law. So the divine law is what God has given us as his law for us to follow and us to abide to. And when somebody is unrighteous, the Bible says that you are not conformed in heart and life. So not just the way you believe, because what you believe comes from your heart, but also your life. Your life doesn't show that you are somebody who has conformed to the divine law. If we have Romans chapter 12, verse 2, we can share that really quickly as we recap last week. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. I believe we have it to project. I can also read it. Oh, there it goes. Yeah, Romans chapter 12, verse 2, right? The Bible says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So the Bible is saying here that we as Christians should not conform ourselves to the pattern of this world, but rather we should try to be renewed in our mind. As a believer, the way you think directs your actions and directs your steps. Many people take decisions and live their life a certain way simply by what they think. That's why the Bible is saying here that it is important to be transformed by your mind. When you take the decision and when you become born again as a Christian, the first thing that happens is you have to begin the process of renewing your mind. It is important to renew your mind because if many Christians spend their whole Christian life on the same path and are never able to actually do this critical thing of renewing their mind. That is why many people never find the road that leads them to going to heaven. Yeah, many Christians never actually get on that road. A lot of people define it by Sunday church attendance. And you know, we've talked about it, we've learned that your coming to church on Sunday cannot be and is not the basis of your Christianity. What makes you a Christian is your personal time with God. I hope everyone takes that away. What makes you a Christian is your personal time with Christ. What makes me a Christian is my personal time with Christ. It is not an hour and a half on Sunday when we meet and have church. It would be very minimal if this is all that it takes to be a Christian. We read a verse in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Yeah, it says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. So many people are on this road that leads them to destruction. And what is leading them to destruction is their thinking. Their thinking and their inability to renew their mind. It is their inability to stop living the life that they were living before. You know, and then it says, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. And only a few ever find it. Only a few people ever really find this road, because only a few people are ever really able to renew their mind, to really transform their mind. And many of us, many believers are still living lives that unfortunately are not fully in Christ. Yeah, many Christians are half in Christ, half in church, but half still in the world, half and half. But as a believer, you can't be half and half. Yeah, when it comes to God, you are either all in or you're all out. There's no in between. There's no balance. Yeah, as a believer, you're either a Christian or you're not. We read a verse, Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 and 16, I believe. Yeah, this is God speaking, and he's speaking about Christians who are half in Christ and half in the church, half in Christianity, and half out of it. And the Bible says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. Yeah, so this is God's reaction. This is God's attitude towards people who are neither hot or cold. Yeah, it's like you come to church, but then you still live a... It's like you still do some things that people in the world do. It's like you say you're a Christian, but we can't really see it, or your life doesn't really show it. Remember, to be unrighteous doesn't mean you are sinful per se. Yeah, I think a lot of times we use the term unrighteous as somebody who's sinful, but we are all sinful. That's one. Two, the term unrighteousness is the inability to conform your heart and your life to the law. When your heart and life is conformed to the law, you will make mistakes. Yeah, you'll make mistakes, but what will happen is that the mistakes will not be as intentional. They will not be as habitual. They will not become mistakes that you do regularly, frequently. It's like you plan and even make adjustments to your life to complete this sin. Yeah, it won't happen as a believer if you are truly, truly born again. And we talked about one of the major things that happens with people who are unrighteous is people who forget, and the unrighteousness of forgetting. So this week, we are sharing about, or I'm sharing about, I'm just going to give you five types of evils that befall people who forget. Amen. So five types of evils that befall people who forget. People who forget, they experience many evils. When you are somebody who forgets often, one of the main things that happens to you is that you experience many evils because forgetfulness opens the door to many things. Yeah. One of the main things that forgetfulness opens the door to is pridefulness. You really open the door to the spirit of pride when you become somebody who is forgetful. Yeah, being forgetful opens the door to pridefulness. And as a believer, you should try your best, try hard to not become somebody who is prideful. Yeah, try. And one of the ways to help yourself, the Bible says that God rejects the proud. One of the ways that you can help yourself to move away from pridefulness is by becoming somebody who doesn't forget. Amen. So for those of us taking notes, the title is Five Evils That Befall People Who Forget. Number one, people who forget are constantly demoted. People who forget are constantly demoted. When you forget what someone has done for you, even if you just take the example of people who are in school, when you are not able to remember your exams, what you studied, what you tried your best to memorize, you see that you keep getting demoted. It's like you are not able to pass certain classes. Yeah, because you are not able to remember. And the same thing happens in church. When you are dealing with people in your life and you are not able to remember, what someone has done for you, what your parents have done for you, what other people have done for you, you know, it creates a problem where you now can become demoted. Yeah, somebody who was favored, somebody who was loved by people, now all of a sudden it's like you're no longer favored, you're no longer loved. People don't show you that love anymore. If we have our Bibles, and I say this every Sunday, every Christian should come to church with their Bibles, whether it's on your phone or a physical Bible, you should have your Bible. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18, please. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Yeah, many, many times, simply before somebody makes a mistake, simply before somebody makes an error, what happens right before that mistake or that error is pride. And people who forget open themselves up to the spirit of pride. Please remember, I said that the Bible says that God rejects the proud. Pride is subtle. Pride is something that it just happens on you. You may not realize what is taking place. You may not realize what is happening, but pride is shown many times in the little things that we say. Yeah, little things that we say, little things in our interactions with people. And when you forget, you become somebody who's very prone to pridefulness. Yeah, it is not a sign of love to forget. If we have Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. Yeah, it says, God is not unjust. If you read this in another version, it will say, God is not unrighteous. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. Amen. It is a sign of love when you do not forget. Yeah, and it says, God is not unjust. So it is a sign of unrighteousness to forget because God is not unrighteous. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him. Yeah, it is important to be a Christian who shows love. It is important to be a believer who expresses love. Yeah, pray to be somebody who expresses love through your helping of others. Yeah, through your helping of others. Yeah, God is not unjust. I like this verse. Yeah, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him. Yeah, when you are working for Christ, when God sees your efforts for him, it's a sign of loving him. I think many times we ask ourselves, how do we love God? How do we show God that we love him? At least that's a question I've also asked myself. And I think this verse is helping us. It's saying that one of the ways you can show God your love for him is by showing it to others, putting that work in for others, showing thinking about others above yourself. Yeah, it's also something that helps to keep you humble. Yeah, it will help to keep you humble when you're remembering that this is something that God loves, that God wants to see. He will not forget. Yeah, so let's not become unrighteous in the way that we think and in our ability to forget. Amen. If we have Psalms chapter 75, verse 7, Psalm 75, verse 7, it says, "But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another." So God is the one who picks people up and sets other people down. Amen. It is not anything we do. It is not by our own strength. It is not by our own might. It is not by even our own network. I think sometimes we get caught up in thinking that it is by our own strength or our own power that people are able to be put up, or by your own intelligence. Yeah, but it's never that. It's the Bible is telling us that it is God who puts one up and sets another down. So when God has put you up, you know, don't forget. Yeah, don't forget that it is the Lord who is putting you up. Don't forget that it is the Lord who puts you up. Because the point we are learning is that when you are somebody who constantly forgets, you can become demoted. Yeah, if you're not able to show people, if you're not able to show God that you remember, if you're not able to show God that you remember what he's done for you, you'll see that he will demote you. Yeah, God will demote you if you're not able to show him that you remember his efforts, what he's poured into you, everything he's allowed you to even accomplish as a Christian. When you're not able to show him that, you will see that he will rather demote you, that you will go down. Amen. So let's not become believers like that. Let's remember that we are believers who must remember. Always remember. Always remind yourself, let me remember that God is doing this. Yeah. If you are graduating from college, remember it is the Lord who has done it for you. It is not you. And it's very easy to get caught up in that. You may think that because you are the individual who went to class, you are the individual who studied, you are the person that took the test, that did everything, you think it's you. But what you must remember is somebody gave you the strength to go to class. Somebody gave you the health to study, to remember, and to pass your exams. It is not you who did it for yourself. Amen. So let's remind ourselves of that. Next, forgetful people become murmurers. People who are forgetful become murmurers. What is a murmurer? A murmurer is someone who speaks negatively about people when they are not around. Yeah. So we may also define that as gossiping. People who speak negatively about others when the other person isn't around. And we're going to read a story where that happened in the Bible, and we'll learn, you know, what God's attitude was towards people who gossip. Yeah, God's attitude towards people who talk bad about others behind their back. Yeah, murmuring, I can tell you now, murmuring is an evil spirit, and it is something that if you have people in your life, and I think many of us know this already, if you have people in your life who they always come to you and talk bad about other people, you should be very afraid of that person. Because what is stopping them from going somewhere and talking bad about you? And you must be aware of those type of people. So sometimes you may not realize it, that, wow, this person, whenever they call me, whenever I see them, all they want to do is talk bad about somebody else's troubles. It's a sign. It's a sign. Number one, why are they so comfortable sharing it with you all the time, so regularly? But then number two, you have to ask yourself, are they taking my business somewhere else also? Yeah, it's a question to ask yourself. And it's something as a believer you should be aware of. Don't have friends who it's like all they enjoy doing is gossiping, talking bad about people, because sometimes that person may be bringing a curse on themselves. And by association, by the fact that you are so close with them, you may also bring something on yourself also. Yeah. If we have Numbers 11, verse 5, please. Numbers 11, verse 5, it says, I'll provide context, right? The people of Israel, the children of Israel, they were slaves in Egypt. God had used Moses. You know, this is why it's important read your Bible. You know, many times on Sundays we read stories and things, but it's important throughout the week, you know, take a decision that you read a Bible story. And you can read about Moses, you can read about different Bible characters, and it'll teach you a lot. But okay, so God had used Moses to deliver the people of Israel out of Egypt. They were slaves in Egypt, and he used Moses to deliver them out of Egypt. These people were very forgetful people. They were people who forgot often. For some reason, you know, they were slaves who God had freed, but they constantly complained. When you read the story is in the book of Numbers, for anybody who's interested. You can make it your quiet time this week. You can read a chapter a day of the book of Numbers for the next several weeks, and you'll be blessed. But they complained constantly. It was almost as if they hadn't been freed. Like, you would think if somebody's a slave and then God frees them, that now the number one thing that they will be happy about, the number one thing that they'll be, you know, grateful to God for is their freedom. But these people, for some reason, they always focused on what they didn't have. It's like what we didn't have. They simply forgot everything that God had done for them. So this verse says that we remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt. So this is them thinking about, mind you, this fish they're describing is fish they ate as slaves. We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic, verse 6. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. So they were complaining that the food they had as slaves was better and more enjoyable than the food they're having as free people. I mean, it doesn't make a lot of sense. And many times with people who forget, that is the issue. We focus on what we don't have. We focus on, oh, I'm in college, but it's like, I'm not in my major, or I don't have this issue, or maybe I don't know what I want to do next. Yeah, it's like constantly focusing on what you don't have rather than focusing on what you do have. It can bring forgetfulness into your life. Yeah, it can also bring, if I'm going to be honest with you, it can also really bring depression. Yeah, when you spend a lot of your time focused on what you don't have, constantly focused on, I don't have this, I don't have this, I don't have, and the funny thing is, many times the things we don't have can seem so big to us that we'll forget the things that we actually have, the things that God has done for us. And that's what these people were experiencing. They were free from slavery, completely free. But they were complaining because they missed the food they had as slaves. I mean, it doesn't really make a lot of sense, but that's what they were doing. And many of us, this is our trap, is we focus on the things we had, the things we don't have, rather than focusing on what God has done for us, the big thing God has done for us. God has freed us. God has freed you, but you're focusing on life as a slave. Life as a slave is your primary focus. You see that it doesn't make a lot of sense. And I think as Christians and as believers, we have to do a better job of working on remembering what God has given us. Try and adjust your perspective. Yeah. Try and adjust the way you think. Adjust that perspective. Like I said, depression many times seeps into our lives because of this issue. We're so focused on what we don't have. We keep counting, I don't have one, I don't have two. We keep counting what we don't have that we're never able to be grateful for what we do have. And many times when you can find peace and how you can find a spirit of gratitude is by thinking of the things that you have. Yeah, think of what you have. Count your blessings. I'm sure it's a statement we've all heard before. Count your blessings. You should count it. Right now in this season of being home, you know, quarantine, lockdown, it's very easy to focus on what you don't have because you're home all the time. You're just in your head. You're thinking. It's very easy to be focused on what you don't have. But if you adjust the way you think just a little and you can focus on what you do have, what God has done for you, you'll realize that God has kept you healthy in a time of death. When millions of people have died, people who began the year with plans for the year, things they want to do, things they have for next year, people who began the year with many plans, now they've died. Yeah, but God has kept you. So just that simple level of gratitude, you see that it will really help you and adjust the way you think. And if we're discussing people who murmur,
people who murmur and people who make mistakes. Don't forget, for those of you taking notes, it is forget. The second point is forgetful people become murmurers. Numbers chapters 12, verse 1, please. Numbers chapter 12 and verse 1. As we move through the service. Numbers chapter 12 and verse 1. So this is a story that we are going to read. It's about 10 verses. You know, many of us, like I said, we should take the effort and the time to read our Bibles throughout the week. Read these Bible stories throughout the week. Take the time. It'll be beneficial to you. It'll help you. So Numbers chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it says, Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife. So I'm going to give you some context. Once again, Moses was used by God. If it's not making sense to anybody, if the story is not making sense to anybody, send a message to the chat, or you can even send me a private message to the chat and we'll talk about it. So Moses was used by God to deliver the people of Israel out of Egypt. Remember, the people of Israel, they were slaves in Egypt. Moses was used by God to deliver them. When Moses delivered them, one of the main issues Moses had was Moses was someone who wasn't very self-confident in his speech. So God gave him Aaron, which we see here. God gave him Aaron to be his mouthpiece. So Aaron was the one who did most of the speaking for Moses. And Miriam was Aaron's sister. So in this story, Miriam and Aaron were just talking. They're just having a conversation. The issue was that Miriam and Aaron were around somebody who was very close with God. Moses was very close. God interacted with Moses directly. Yeah, God, that's why this story is also a story of why you shouldn't speak bad about men of God, about people who are pastors, people who are leading churches, because in order to lead a church, in order to pastor a church, it requires a certain level of closeness with God. Yeah, so it's also a story of why you shouldn't speak poorly of pastors and people who are leading churches. So Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife, for he had married a Cushite. And then they said, has the Lord spoken only through Moses? They asked, hasn't he also spoken through us? And the Lord heard this. When you murmur against someone, when you speak bad against people, always know that God hears you. It's not like you're speaking and God doesn't hear you. When you speak bad against someone, God is listening. Yeah, he's listening. He doesn't miss when you speak bad against people. This is almost a passive comment. Yeah, they were speaking because of the type of woman that Moses had married. And he said that has the Lord spoken only through Moses? Yeah. In earlier verses, Moses had actually told the people in the church, don't marry a Cushite wife. Like, don't marry people from this particular region. And then Moses went and married one of the women from there. So that was their issue, was it's like, has God only spoken to him? Has he not spoken to us? Yeah, you see, pride was settling in. Now Moses was a very, oh, I'm sorry. Okay, verse 3, yes. Thank you. Now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. At once the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, come out to the tent of meeting, all three of you. So the three of them went out. Verse 5. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud. He stood at the entrance to the tent and summoned Aaron and Miriam. When the two of them stepped forward, verse 6, he said, listen to my words. When there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, reveal myself to them in visions. Wow. I speak to them in dreams, but this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. Verse 8. With him I speak face to face, clearly, and not in riddles. He sees the form of God, of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? So God is asking them, why were you not afraid to speak against someone who I speak to face to face, someone who I speak to clearly? The anger of the Lord burned against them and he left them. Verse 10. When the cloud lifted from above the tent, Miriam's skin was leprous. It became as white as snow. Aaron turned towards her and saw that she had a defiling skin disease. Amen. Having skin that was leprous is almost like having cancer. when you meet somebody in those days that has leprosy, it is like you have cancer. Yeah. So a disease had come on Miriam's life because of what she had spoke, because of the conversation she had agreed to have with someone. Yeah. And she forgot. Aaron and Miriam, the mistake they made was they forgot that it was God who chose them. God could have picked anybody to be Moses' mouthpiece, but God chose them. God chose them to come close to him. Yeah, God chose them, and they forgot that they had been chosen. Yeah, they forgot. Always remember who chooses you. Always remember who put you in the place to do what you are doing. Always remember who appointed you to do the things that you are doing. Yeah, never forget. When you are very grateful and have that spirit of gratitude and you remember people who put you in that position, you'll see that you can't easily bring it within yourself to speak negatively against them, to murmur against them. If Aaron and Miriam had remembered what God had used them for, they wouldn't speak about the type of woman Moses would marry because they would feel as though it's none of their business. Yeah, yeah. So always remember that. Be mindful of that. Amen. As we move through the service, time is already fast spent. So the next point, number three, people who forget are rejected. People who forget are rejected. For those of you taking notes, people who forget are people who are rejected. When you forget, you are rejected. Amen. When you forget, you are rejected. Forgetting can lead to murmuring, and murmuring leads to God's rejection. As you can see, by them murmuring, it led to God's rejection of them. It led to God turning himself away from them. God no longer wanted to be a part of Aaron and Miriam's life. He no longer wanted them to be close with Moses. God will reject you when you complain. It is important to be thankful at all times. If we have Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 to 20, as we close, Ephesians 5, 18 to 20. Yeah, Ephesians 5, 18 to 20, it says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord." Verse 20. "Always give thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. It is important as a believer to be somebody who gives thanks. Always have a spirit of gratitude. And as I'm closing, I just want to remind us that that spirit of gratitude will help deal with a lot of these evils. We weren't even able to get through everything, but having a spirit of gratitude helps us to deal with many, many, many evils. Dealing with evils is something that you cannot easily know. When pride is coming, like I said, pride is subtle. It just happens to you. Next thing you know, you are dealing with pride. Next thing you know, it's like pride is around you. But what the Bible is saying is that always give thanks. Yeah, if you have a spirit of thanksgiving, if when you're going through something, when you're experiencing some difficulty, when you're experiencing some trouble, one of the things you must remember to do is give thanks. Even in the times of trouble, give thanks. Yeah, in the times of trouble, remember to give thanks. They will help you deal with a lot of these evils. If you are there, we have a verse. I'll read you a verse that just came to me. I don't think we have it, but I do think it's important to share. I think as we're going through things, as we are having different experiences, one of the things that will help us, you see, if we can go back to Ephesians 5, please. Yeah, thank you. As we are going through things, as we are having different experiences, one of the things that can help us is this spirit and this mindset of gratitude. If you have your Bibles with you, you can open to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. I'll read it to you at home. It says, "And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while." So whatever you're going through, that's why I said when you're going through something, when you're having a bad experience, when you're having a negative experience, remember to pray and thank God. Why? Because the Bible says that the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory. So if you are in church this Sunday, God has called you to his eternal glory. God wants you to be close to him. God wants you to be around him. God wants you to develop a personal relationship with him. And the Bible is saying that he who has called you, God who has called you, after you have suffered a little while, so after you've gone through this experience for a little while, after you've struggled with whatever it is that you're going through, whatever it is, maybe it's the depression, maybe it's a situation that has uncertainty, maybe it's something that is really troubling you, something that's really troubling you, something that for some reason you just can't seem to get over it. The Bible is saying that after you have suffered a little while, he himself will restore you, make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Amen. So God has the ability, when you're going through a storm in your life, when you're going through a period of uncertainty, God has the ability to, number one, this verse should be very comforting to somebody, because it should tell you that God, number one, when you're suffering, it only happens for a little while. You're only experiencing for a short period of time. Yeah. And then it says that after you go through this experience, that God himself will restore you, will make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Yeah, to be made steadfast means that you are somebody who doesn't give up. Yeah, that's so many times when we go through experiences, we give up. Yeah, but the Bible is saying that after the experience, one of the promises of God is that you will become steadfast. So I'm just reminding us that when we are going through things, remember to give thanks, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. For everything doesn't mean just positive things. This verse on the screen, it doesn't mean just positive circumstances, just when we are blessed, when God does something great for us. For everything means for everything, good and bad, troubling times, situations that make you cry. For everything, remember to give God thanks. Amen. So at this point in time, if you're at home, just bow your head, close your eyes with us as we have this word of prayer. Just pray for yourself for a few moments. Pray for yourself and ask God to help you to be somebody who remembers. As you can see, there are many traps that comes with forgetting. When you forget what people do for you, there's traps. So I would just place your hand on your heart and speak to God. Speak to God, ask God to help you. Ask God to help you to be somebody who remembers. Ask God to help you to be somebody who doesn't forget. Pray and ask God to help you. Don't be a Christian who forgets. Yeah, pray and ask God that you won't fall to some of these traps. Father, we come before you this afternoon, Lord. We come and we ask, oh God, that you will help us not to fall into some of these traps, some of these pitfalls, some of these mistakes. Lord, we are asking, oh God, that you will guide us with your hand, guide us with your strength, guide us, oh God, guide the way we think, help our minds, oh God, not to be trapped into this world. Help our minds, oh God, to be renewed. Help us to be renewed by what you are doing in our lives, where you are taking us, oh God. We are grateful to you and we are thankful, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 So at this time, we'll take our offering. I believe the instructions will be placed on the screen. So if it's your first time giving, please text LCI Give to 45777. Amen. So if you're giving your tithes as well, you can also follow the prompts on the screen. Very soon, we're going to actually go through a series of the importance of tithe paying, why you must pay tithe. Tithes, paying tithes is when you give 10% of all your income to God. It's a very important practice. There are actually some very spiritual blessings that are linked to tithe paying. Yeah, when you pay tithes, when you remember God, when you remember the things of God, it's actually very important, some of the blessings. The Bible says that when you pay your tithes, God opens the windows of heaven over your lives. So if you're seeking a blessing, if you're seeking God to do something for you, one of the ways to activate a blessing is by giving tithes. Amen. So I'll give us a few moments to give our offering and to give our tithes. If we have any questions, when you text LCI Give to 45777, also please send me a private message, stay after church, and I can help you walk through it. Amen.
I'll pray for everybody who's giving their tithes and offering. Father, I thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in our lives. I thank you, God, for where you are taking us, where you are going to continue to take us, oh God. I pray, God, that you continue to increase our levels, oh God. I pray, Lord, that these offerings and these tithes, that you'll remember them, oh God. Do not forget our efforts. Do not forget what we've contributed to your house, oh God. I pray, Father God, that the Bible says, give and it shall come back to you, God. As we've given this afternoon, Lord, let it return back to us, oh God. Whatever we are giving, let it come back to us. I'm thankful to you for each person for this act of obedience, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. At this time, we'll take our announcements. Amen. So the main announcement for this coming week is